Okay. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Fairbanks City Council regular work session this Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Ms. Rogers?
Here.
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Mayor Pruse?
Here. And item two on our listed, but actually let's go to item eight, the executive session. Jerry, you want to move this to Monday night?
Have time this morning because of the presentations we're going to have. So I would just say leave it there, and if we get to it, we get to it. If not, we'll just move it to Monday night.
Madam Clerk, is that still available for us to do?
Yes.
Is there any one opposed to altering our agenda and having the executive session, a Fairbanks Firefighters Union labor negotiation strategy at the end of the Monday City Council meeting? Ms. Sprinkle?
I just want to bring it to our attention that we wanted to do this sooner than later because Mike was anxious to make sure we could get something to them sooner. Where do we stand on that?
I check on him every day, and he makes progress every day. So I think there will be more items progressed by next Monday evening for you, to tell you the truth. And, yeah.
All right. I just wanted to see what he was going to tell us.
Okay. Without any other opposition, we'll move that to...
Well, wait. I didn't get to hear from Mike, though. Can we do that?
Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I was prepared for today. I mean, if we want, I mean, this is a, I mean, we all know what this is all about, but yeah, whatever.
Mr. Cleworth came to me and said that he thinks that today's items will take an inordinate amount of time. And so he asked if we could do the works executive session on Monday evening.
Okay.
So. Okay, resolution 5105, a resolution awarding a contract to RWC International Limited to provide two refuse haulers in the amount of $341,127. Okay, now, if everyone would go to page 195 of the budget that we have from 2024, under garbage equipment replacement reserve. Margarita, we have a new amount here from our first one. So we're buying two, I take it.
That is correct. The original resolution you had was the cost for one hauler. And I have provided a revised resolution with a cost for two, which is $682,254.
So our capital budget that we estimated was for these two would be $650,000. Is that correct?
Correct.
Our bids came in at $682,254.
Yes, both Packer 24 and 25, the new ones, had a price increase of $16,000. And so... from when we submitted the capital budget request out of the garbage reserve fund, that was a price increase.
Okay. Are there any questions for Public Works or Finance? Mr. Marnie?
It says it comes with a two-year warranty. So who does that warranty work?
It would be our local dealer, RWC. We do all the warranty work through them, and then after that we take over the maintenance of it.
Okay. And that... this matches the ones that we already have.
Yes, it matches the two Dennis Eagles, the plan of replacing our expiring Lodals. So these have been in operation for a year and a half, and they've been very successful, and they work well. And so we are pleased to continue moving forward with that style of garbage.
Yeah, they look nice.
Yeah, they're very good.
Mr. Ringstad.
two questions. The first one, why are we going from one to two? We started out saying we're going to do one, and now this newest version says two.
It was always in the capital budget to replace two. The resolution in the title said two, but there was a misunderstanding that it was for each of them. So
I read this yesterday and thought, what's a refuge hauler? Then I figured out it must be a garbage. Yeah.
I like
you have to explain
garbage
to him things better. I'm holding you responsible. It's a new term there, John.
Politically correct.
Yeah.
We want to be sensitive to our trash.
Is there any other discussion on Resolution 5105 before we move on? Ms. Sprinkle?
Okay, so I'm looking at our unassigned balance. We've got these two covered. That's it. Okay. And then the
next one. That one's going to be a higher bid than we thought, too.
But was it included in our original budgeting?
We'll discuss that on the next, about 3 minutes with finance on 5106. Right now we're still on 5105.
I understand that, but there's a total to this. I just want to get where I'm going on this.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Anything else on 5105? Okay, 5106. Item number three, a resolution awarding a contract to Yukon Equipment Inc. to provide a sweet street sweeper, amount of $426,687. If you look at page 194 of your 2024 capital budget, you're going to see where we had a street sweeper that we approved the budget for $350,000. This one is $426,684. So your equipment's a little bit higher than we thought. Last year it was a little bit lower than we thought. So, Margaritas, Ms. Sprinkle had a question about the unassigned balance. Would you like to address that for us, please?
The department had savings and other expenditures that they had approved under their capital budget, under Public Works. And we also, in the first budget amendment, increased the additional amount that they needed of $30,000 in order to purchase the street sweeper. So the unassigned balance that you reviewed at the last budget amendment is as stated, with the cost being at the $426,687. So you've taken care of the amount needed for this purchase.
Mr. Ringstead, do you have any thoughts on a definition of what a street sweeper is?
I got that one.
So Lonnie explained it to you. There's a photo opportunity for you there.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So, Jeff, we had three currently, right? And one was down kind of for parts.
19 years old, and so after a while, the internal parts, especially all the hoses that disperse the water, become a high maintenance item. And so this new one will be taking one that's 19 years out of service.
So we'll still have a total of three now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on item number three, Resolution 5106? Mr. Jacobson.
Thank you. Just to follow up on Ms. Sprinkle's concern, we were fortunate in the other capital equipment purchases. The grader, we saved $43,000 from what was budgeted. The tractor, we saved $17,000. The side dump, we saved $4,000, and the icebreaker attachment, we saved $1,000 for a net savings of $65,000. But the sweeper came in at $77,000 higher, and then the flatbed came in higher too, at $36,000 with the truck and the flatbed. So it's $115,000 higher, but we saved $65,000, so it's about $30,000, $40,000 difference from what the capital budget originally intended.
Any other questions there? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number four, Fairbanks City Street Bike Lanes Phase 1 Pilot Project. And Bob, we staying up here? Are we going downstairs? What are we doing?
I think it would be best if we went downstairs. Get the display I have down there can answer a lot of questions.
Okay, we'll, is that okay with you, Madam Clerk? Mr. Clayworth, this is getting goofy. You're not easy today with all your requests. Okay, let's go down to Bob's office.
For on the Zoom call, we'll be right back.
You know, your job is to keep me out of jail. And hot water is jail. I have a feeling Mr. Brinkle is chewing on Bob's ear. Mr. Pristash, Councilman Ringstead had questions about Barnett Street.
Can you kind of run down, I mean, Barnett's kind of, I guess, the way I see Barnett Street is it's got a significant amount of vehicle traffic. Hopefully, we're going to get our signaling squared away so you don't have to stop at five of the six lights. And that probably will make the traffic go smoother. But to me, if you're putting bicycles on Barnett Street, that's asking for trouble. So what is the proposal with Barnett Street?
The everybody recalls Cushman used to be three-way, three lanes, and we narrowed it down to two. So we know Barnett and Cushman work as a couplet. So if Cushman has the capacity of two lanes heading north, Barnett would have the capacity two lanes heading south. Barnett's really got four lanes now. In the winter, sometimes, those lanes are used for snow storage. So the plan is to narrow Barnett to two lanes heading south and take those other two lanes and dedicate them temporarily now for bicycles. Whether it's safe to have bicycles on Barnett, that's kind of an opinion, but everything we're doing on Barnett is according to the MUTCD.
Ms. Tidwell.
Just to make a comment on Barnett, I bike. And I ride a road bike, and I bike down Barnett, and it is my least favorite street. If any street in town needs help for bicycles, it is Barnett. Like 100%, I think that's a great idea.
Mr. Clayworth.
Question for you. Mm-hmm. Would you prefer a wide space on the side of the road, or would you want a wider sidewalk to be on the sidewalk?
I would prefer a wide space that's not the shared space that we talked about. I never would prefer a sidewalk space. Like, that's a very different kind of biking. Like, people that ride the sidewalk by the river, like, I also ride on the road next to that bike path because, you know, that's when you're commuting, biking, you know, you want to be on the road. And it's pretty comfortable to be on the road with cars, especially where there's room. And that's what I prefer to being on an actual bike-only path.
Mr. Pristash, from 3rd Avenue going south, you have parking on Barnett. So you'd be removing that parking, I take it.
Yes.
Okay.
One thing to consider about the pilot project and the ultimate design of Barnett design was in the TIP or still is in the TIP, the Transportation Improvement Plan, but it's in the beyond column because the cost of Barnett was erroneously based on other projects that shouldn't have been compared to. And one of the major costs of Barnett was the signalization upgrade. I believe at 10th, 7th, and 5th, we have signals. They're 35 years old. We can't get parts for them. So engineering requested that the DOT include those signals in their signal upgrade project that's happening this summer and the following summer. So that will reduce the cost of Barnett and bring Barnett back into a cost that can bring it back out of the beyond column in the Transportation Improvement Plan. And the ultimate design for Barnett, I said, is to match something like Cushman for two lanes. So this pilot project sets up a trial for the ultimate design of Barnett that is becoming more of a reality now that the signals have been removed and it's going to be brought back into the TIP, hopefully. So you see, it's kind of coordinated in a way with that ultimate design of Barnett.
Bob, what's our next step?
I'll proceed with the eliminating 1st Avenue in Illinois and proceed with 10th Avenue and Barnett and then develop a bid package that allows for those two roads to be striped as shown downstairs and other roads to be striped as additive alternatives until the amount of the funding runs out.
Ms. Sprinkle.
What if we did Lacey in the way that Jerry has discussed with regards to fog lines versus this big variation.
I agree with Jerry on Lacey. I mean
Lacey should Lacey be.
Lacey has very less than 400 cars a day on it, exactly. Or something. It's a low volume road. It's low speed road. You could do anything you wanted on Lacey.
You could make that the bike path.
Well, it.
I wouldn't go there.
I'm just throwing it out. But I think that would be an interesting comparison.
Lacey has such low volume that as part of the pilot project, we could have different blocks of Lacey striped different ways.
That would be confusing to someone down.
Well, it's
road,
all
right?
Still bike lane, but some would not have any bike lane on it at all, and some might have the stencil on it. Some wouldn't have a fog line at all.
I hate that.
You see, it's so low volume that it is kind of. Remember when they painted the street?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago?
Sure do.
Yeah, so Lacey's an easy one to test with low risk.
I think consistency would be ideal.
There's something to consistency. Okay. Safety and consistency go hand to hand.
Yeah.
Mr. Clearworth, then Mr. Ringstead.
I'm not a fan of the 10th Avenue one, I'll be honest. The Barnett I find intriguing. I think it's going to be difficult for engineering, especially as it gets near Airport Way, to design that as an experiment. But I'm also not in favor of putting down signage on the pavement or signs and more signs. I think we should just build it and say this is, you know, comfortable for bike path and for bicyclists, and it's comfortable for public works. I don't think we need to dumb it down and say this is a bike path. You don't need to say that. I mean, as a bicyclist, I don't need that. I know where I can ride the bike. You can ride it anywhere legally you want to. If it's comfortable, I'll ride on it. And that would make Barnett comfortable. But I'm looking at the cost down the road, putting down that meth after the years. That's very expensive and costly. And then there becomes an expectation that we do it like Councilmember Rogers is saying. Once you do it, it's hard to go back on it. I mean, that would be my pitch, but I don't know where the council is corporately on this. I'm wondering if we should try a resolution and amend it, and then whatever we come up with at a council meeting, that's the plan, and be done with it.
Mr. Ringstead.
I guess, you know, we're trying to come up with a plan to figure out what do we want in the long term, right? That's what we're doing here. We got some money to try something. You know, I kind of agree with Jerry. Bicycles, they know people are know where they're going to ride their bike, and they're going to go ride their bikes. I'm 10th Avenue, I guess I can live with, because I think there's really not a lot of traffic on most of 10th Avenue. Although I'm not sure I like it, but I could probably live with that. I don't like Cowles. I don't like Noble Street. If we're going to try something, I think you put it out as a trial deal and do Barnett and 10th, I think to a certain degree we're making a mountain out of a molehill here. I would be content to take Cowles off, take Noble Street off, and try a north south and an east west. You know, and next year they're going to come in and we're going to want a deal over here on Pegger Road, right? You know, you get more north south and east west, and I think at some point just let's see if we can find out how many people are actually going to use this thing and want to use this thing, and is it practical? But I'm not sure how far I want to go with it. And at this point, I'm not willing to commit to making anything permanent.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I think that our department heads have spoken about what they think is comfortable. I would appreciate a trial run at this. I think it's, you know, we're moving forward. 2024, yeah. Let's see what else we can do. Streets are 100 years old. We can do something different. I appreciate, well, we've been around here since then, right? 100 years of the city.
But we didn't have 100 years.
Well, my point is that transportation has been around a long
Mr.
time.
Mr. Pristash? Mr. Pristash, would you get with Mr. Clayworth and put together a resolution? Because we're sort of
sure
going around and around and around and around here on what we're going to do. I'd appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Item 5 on our list is watering logistics at South Davis Road Ball Fields. And
okay, I put that on there.
Okay,
I just want an update. You all know Mr. Rebar, he works with the Interior Girls Softball Association over at South Davis, and Bob has been working with him over the last year or two. The problem is, PFAS is in the groundwater there, so they can't use their wells to water the fields, apparently, and so the city has been providing water for them. I think we have a tank over there. Is that correct at this time?
Three tanks.
Two tanks now?
Three tanks.
And the idea is, first the question. My understanding is that the PFAS is below the permafrost over there. Is that correct? Their well goes under the permafrost.
The PFAS they're concerned with is in the groundwater. So they pump the groundwater to water the fields. There are wells that penetrate permafrost out there. So, yes, the PFAS is below the permafrost where the permafrost is.
Is there any water above that permafrost?
Like a perched water table? Might be seasonally, but all the wells penetrate the permafrost.
Okay.
To get enough water for enough volume.
His complaint I thought he said there was only one tank, Bob. So I'm
there's
confused.
There are three tanks.
There's three tanks
for sure.
Is it not enough? I mean, obviously they're still complaining.
The volume seems to be okay, and it was okay for a while, but it's their operation that they say is being affected. Where they have to drag the hoses from, they had wells at certain points in certain locations, and the tanks are in certain locations where they asked them to be. But it seems now that their operation is being affected because of their sprinklers have to connect to those tanks, and then they have to move their sprinkler operation more than they did before when they had the wells. That's what I understand.
Is there any solution you can think
of? Another tank is what they want. And I think I talked to Joe Rebar.
I'm sure Joe's talked to Jim and Jerry.
I did look at another tank, and I can't remember the cost now, but it wasn't $1,000. It was like $20,000. And so then because the tank has to be abated because there's an old fuel tank, and then we have to move it there, and then we also have to, set it up so with pumps, and then we have to winterize it, and then we have to summarize it again. So, if you put one tank in, you're adding again another, you're adding more maintenance costs through the, I think we're at $40,000 a year now for maintenance of these tanks. And so,
where's the closest water line?
They're Lathrop, and we did have a design to run HDPE water line through there. And I recall correctly, the borough wanted us to develop a water system that served their ultimate development. So it wasn't a water system that would just provide water to the fields. It was a water system that was much bigger. And then we said, well, that's not reasonable at the time.
Would they pay?
Oh, no.
Ms. Sprinkle.
This is a borough property, right?
Yes, yeah. It is, but it's a City of Fairbanks contamination issue.
Okay, but so $40,000, is it coming out of our
budget? Yes, it is. Yeah. Well, it's risk, so it's directly tax. Increase.
Mr. Ringstead, and then Mr. Marnie.
So, my understanding is that the tanks that are there are used for other fields other than just the softball fields they're trying to deal with. They're under the impression, the softball association, that there's one of the tanks over the one of the three that is underutilized. But they're trying to, of course, it's hard to say, whether you got a rainy year or a dry year, how much you're going to use, but in trying to get, they had somebody lined up that said that they had a tank, they would scrub the tank down, they had it ready to go last summer, and put the tank over there. At that point, if that's the case, then the financial issue of the city is paying for the water. And I got to look at this and say, it's our PFAS liability. And because of our PFAS, the DEC shut down their wells, which I'm assuming they were getting free water out of their wells.
Mr. Ringstead?
So at some point, we got to figure out how to cover our liability there and what's it going to cost us to do that. What I was told was that people that have the tank are out at exclusive. Some of their management people are involved with the softball association. I don't know if they can fill the water out of their gravel pits or where they can haul water from, but they're indicating willingness to sit down and work with them in hauling water. I don't know, but we need to sit down and talk to them too, I think.
Mr. Ringstead, when you secured funding in the legislature to construct those softball fields, how many wells did you have in there?
I think zero.
And those were probably deep wells.
I think the borough put a deep well in.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
But your knowledge goes back from to the beginning.
I worked with the original girl softball fields on the north side of Davis Road, and these are trying to water the south side of Davis Fields. I don't know where the water tanks are. I was under the impression they were closer. They were on the north side of the road.
We'll get to you in a moment, Ms. Sprinkle.
What side of the road are the water?
They're on both sides of the road.
They're on both sides.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Well, what about having a big water truck show up when they need to do their watering?
Water truck fills the tanks?
Well, or just use the water truck. They can drive it all around if they're having trouble with their hoses.
They wouldn't want the water truck driving on the fields. They have their own sprinkler system that hooks up to these tanks, and it's pumps pressurized. It runs on its own. It's on big wheels, and it, you know.
Oh, like a tractor?
It's irrigation. Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Thank you.
Mr. Marnie.
Years in this town, and mainly at Hesray after the Groudon fields, and God always watered the fields. We didn't have any sprinkler systems.
Mr. Pristash, you have a proposed solution for this?
I have to say,
I wasn't aware that they were going to provide a tank. Exclusive is the company I contracted with for the first three tanks. And Exclusive is the company that is contracted with for winterization, summerization, and filling the tanks. Oh my God. The quote I got from Exclusive wasn't free. If they have a free tank, that changes everything. If they have another free tank, well, not free, but if they can get a tank, tell us where they want to put it. They set it up. I would recommend doing that if all our cost is maintenance.
A while ago was, but maybe we should get together, you know, with the guy from Exclusive in there, and you and some of us, whoever, to get together and sit down and get all the facts so we're all getting the same information.
And get a plan.
And get a plan.
Mr. Clayworth.
That's one other possibility. I think Joe mentioned that the soccer fields have an extra tank they're not using. And I asked, well, how do they water their fields? Apparently PFAS isn't on the north side of Davis, which is amazing to me. So they're using well water over there.
Well,
so
they, that,
I didn't know that.
I don't know what they're... the plume goes on the north side of Davis, but I'm not, you know...
DEC hasn't shut them down.
Whatever they're doing.
Okay. Well, that's...
Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm asking the question, like Lonnie's mentioned, if it just... used the water that came out of the sky, does that obligate us in any, are we obligated to provide water?
Yes.
Why?
Because we contaminated the existing water system.
But
we also...
We can't let rain handle this?
Rain goes into the aquifer. Rain sometimes doesn't handle the watering needs of a softball field. So, you know, the PFAS... The city of Fairbanks spent over $5.4 million on our side of repair and upgrades. And this is a continuing portion of it, where it is. Mr. Pristash, I would like to have a meeting with all the parties on this in early April. That way we can get this figured out by early May, so their softball season can be conducted. Yeah, they start in May. So, yeah. Well, it's, yeah. So, if you can get all of us in a room here in City Hall, Pedro room, I think everyone would fit in. I would say Mr. Rebar, Mr. Ringstead, myself, Mr. Clayworth, Mr. Marnie, yourself. People from Exclusive, and we can address this and hopefully get it addressed prior to softball season. Ms. Sprinkle.
Margarita, can you tell me where we put that kind of money in our budget?
It's a...
is it? Is it
since
really?
It's a part of a risk claim, it will be under the risk fund, and which is not a part of your
our budget
book.
Maybe at finance meeting we can talk about that. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on this before we move on? And Ms. Clearwater, thank you for bringing this up. We're going to go into Finance Committee reports. Number six, Margarita.
Good morning again, everyone. Just a quick brief review of our meeting on February the 22nd. The Finance Committee met. They reviewed the financial reports as of January the 31st, 2024, and you'll see the information provided in this meeting report. They reviewed the first 2024 budget amendment. There was a discussion regarding the increase in the transfer. When the committee reviewed the initial budget amendment, they were taking into consideration that the audit was not completed. The other item that they reviewed was the methods for sustaining the capital fund. And we will continue discussions at our next meeting on March 28th. Whatever recommendation they have, they would like to do a work session with the council. We are discussing whether there should be a change in the code or whether we should adopt some sort of policy and procedures in sustaining the capital fund. Our next meeting, as I mentioned, is March 28th. If you're available, we're meeting in the Felix Pedro room. That's all I have.
Mr. Cleworth.
Question, Margarita. In the past, the Finance Committee has given us projections for 2025, 2026. Is it possible to get those updated so we can see them?
The Finance Committee will do a long-term. You're referring to the long-term financial report. We can do a preliminary one. We are planning to look at fund accounts once the audit is completed. We were going to start addressing that, those different types of reports, and bring those forth. But we can do a preliminary one without the Finance Committee, without the audit being completed.
Any other questions for Margarita? Seeing none, we'll move on to Mayor and Council Member comments. We'll start with Ms. Sprinkle.
Gosh, today was a big day. I had a lot to take in. I learned a lot, and I'm frustrated by a lot. But I will move forward and say that I did visit outside of city property. I was able to see the Noel Wien Library update. It's a beautiful new space. Lots of amazing new services will be offered. And I can't be more proud of what our city does for the people who use a library. It's the living room of our city. It's truly a gem. So I look forward to everybody seeing it. I guess June 1 is their proposed opening date. So it's not a city project, I know that, but it's just gorgeous.
Ms. Rogers.
I think I've already said several things today. I'm fine.
Thank you. Mr. Cleworth. Mr. Ringstead. Mr. Marnie. Ms. Tidwell.
I'm good.
My comments would be I want to thank Mayor Cleworth for his foresight on how long this would take and his recommendation of moving the executive session to Monday. And with that, we're adjourned. Thank you.